Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. I'm excited about this segment of the JX because it's about the most precious resource we have in our region, our children. But when the messy lives of adults spill over onto the children, especially when the judicial system gets involved, it creates a problem that's far beyond the control of any child. That's when court-appointed special advocates, or CASA volunteers, get involved. And joining me on the JX is Christina Patron, a program manager for CASA of Jackson County. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
And Heather Brown, a program director for CASA of Josephine County, is with us as well. Welcome, Heather.
Hi. Good morning, Mike. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to have you both here. Christina, let's start with the basics. What does CASA do in Jackson County, and how long have you been a part of that program?
I have been a part of this program for 4 years, but I did have a little history because I was also a foster parent who had a CASA on one of her cases. But what we do is we are basically the voices for abused and neglected children who are in the child welfare custody, who are basically wards of the court. So we become very knowledgeable about the child and their situation, and we report that information to the judge and make recommendations in court to the judge. So we are really advocating for the best interest of the child.
Okay, and Heather, help us understand your role and what happens in Josephine County on a day-to-day basis at CASA. What's a typical week like?
Well, we work with our court-appointed volunteers where we become a party to the case, a legal party. So we have access to all the discovery, and we work with our highly trained volunteers, very skilled, to sort through discovery. They make visits with the children in their placements, potentially up at the DHS office where they are sometimes on what they call parenting visits, where they have time with their parents. There's court reports we work with them. I'm trying to think of all the things we do.
So, Christina,
we're out in the community. We're out in the community too. We are a nonprofit organization, so a lot of our funding does not come from the state or federal agencies. We are having to do a lot of fundraising to keep our volunteers trained and.
Well, tell us more about the volunteers. How many do you have? How big is the operation? How many kids are you servicing?
Here in Josephine County, we have 36 CASAs. We're assigned and working for 106 children in care. We have about 13 children on the wait list that do need a CASA. So there's about 129-ish children in the care and custody of the state here in Josephine County.
And how does that look, Christina, in Jackson County?
Yeah, so in Jackson County, we have about, as of last month, we have about 213 active CASAs. We've got 130 children on our wait list, which means they don't have a CASA. And by the way, children who come into child welfare are mandated by law to have a CASA. So we are in great need of volunteers, but that's about how many kids we have on our wait list so far.
So you're in dire need of volunteers. Tell me this. We often think of parents and guardians as the first line of protection for children, but these children that you're talking about are in seriously precarious situations. How do you get notified when needed? And then how do the volunteers get involved?
Right. So we have, when a child comes into the dependency court, we have a shelter hearing. That's the very first hearing that happens. And we are notified through the Oregon Department of Human Services when this happens. So it happens almost every day. So we go to the hearing or get on call and listen to the hearing. And then this child automatically, gets put in our system. And then we start looking for a CASA for that child. And some CASAs are open to take other cases. Some can't. So if they can't take a case, that child will be put on our wait list. But we really try and triage cases that really need a CASA, and staff, we come together as a staff and you know, call up all the CASAs and see if they can take up a new case. So that's the initial stage. And then once they do, or once they can take a new case, then we officially appoint them as the official CASA to their case, and then they start working on their case.
I'm talking with Christina Patrone and Heather Brown, program directors at CASA of Jackson and Josephine Counties. You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Christina, if someone's interested in becoming a volunteer at CASA, what's the process? How do they take step one?
I love your question, Mike. Step one is to join us on our orientation. It's through Zoom, or we can have it in person. It happens every Thursday from 12 to 1. That is the very first step everybody's required to take. And that just gives you a general overview of what the CASA role entails. And if this is a good match for you, this is where you come with all your questions. And if this is a good match for you, then we schedule an interview, and then we'll go through about an hour interview with you to get to know you better. And then if this is a match, then we go through some background checks, and then you start with our training. And our training, by the way, we offer trainings 3 times a year. They're 30 hours, 23 hours in class and 7 hours of homework. We're offering our next training this fall. It starts October 10th. So if you're interested, please give us a call, either in the Jackson or Josephine office, and we'll set you up with an orientation.
So, Heather, how does the need in Josephine County compare with the need in Jackson County? And what's the vetting process like as well in Josephine?
Well, as Christina said, so we're under the same 501, we're the same nonprofit. So we do orientations here in our county as well, in person or over the Zoom. The vetting process is identical to Jackson County, where we go through a background check. We use a private organization as well as a DHS has a background check process that we utilize. And again, we speak with people, see what they're wanting, how they want to work in this capacity, and if it is a match. It's a hard job. It's nothing like, we often refer to it as the Navy SEAL of volunteering. It's a heart, very much heart-based driven. You want to do good, but you're also a party to the case. So there's some legal things you have to jump through.
Well, it sounds like CASA volunteers get a chance to be friendly heroes to kids who are in desperate need. But what's the training process like? And the time commitment sounds pretty serious.
Right. So the training is 30 hours. So it happens over the course of 3.5 weeks, mainly Tuesday, Thursday nights for 2.5 to 3 hours. And the time commitment varies. So, but on average, it's 8 to 10 hours a month, sometimes less, sometimes a little more.
Okay. Well, I can't imagine how challenging it must be to engage traumatized children in these, I guess, unimaginable circumstances on a fairly regular basis. Can you talk about that process of engaging the children, and how do you gain the children's trust?
Right. That's a really good question. Through time. You know, we have in our training, we have experienced CASAs. I mean, some CASAs have been doing this for 20 years. You know, some have been doing for 10 years. So we bring them into our training and we train our volunteers. Okay, what does your first visit with a child look like? And then we go with them. You're not going through this process alone. We'll go with you to that first visit. And over time, because we're required to visit the child once a month, you can visit them more. But over time, you slowly establish trust. And we're really lucky because kids love their CASAs. And sometimes we're that only one consistent person in their lives that keeps showing up. I mean, they change foster homes, they change caseworkers, they change attorneys, but we are that one consistent person that keeps showing up. And that's how we slowly build their trust.
Well, it was mentioned earlier that it's a requirement that every child has to have a court-appointed special advocate by law.
Right. Well,
how do you meet that mandate if you don't have enough CASA volunteers?
We get on talk shows public radio, and we get the word out. We get the, you know, it's an unfunded mandate. We need help. And so we do everything in our power to get the word out and recruit more CASAs.
So that's a good point. You just said it's an unfunded mandate. So that means the volunteers are actual volunteers. They're not paid.
That's correct.
No, right. They're not paid. And I want to stress, you do not have to know anything about the legal process or law. We train you. We do. And the beauty is the judges really respect CASAs, and we carry a lot of weight in court. It's the one time you can advocate for someone in court, a child, without a law degree. So we're given a lot of grace. Don't let that scare you. But we do carry a lot of weight in court because we're the one person that really knows how this child is doing and what their needs are.
So if someone is inspired by this interview, by the both of you and the work that you're doing, what's step one after they stop listening to this program and get on their phone or get on their computer? What's that step? Where should they go and what should they do?
Right. Look us up, JacksonCountyCASA.org or JosephineCountyCASA.org, or call our number in Jackson County. It's 541-734-2272. And ask to be a part of our orientation. And Heather, you can give your Josephine County number. I don't have that memorized.
No, sure, not a problem. Josephine County would be 541-474-5486. And we also, if folks are on social media, we have Facebook and Instagram.
And we'll put those numbers on our website at the Jefferson Exchange. Tell me something great that's happening at CASA that we don't know about.
I'll tell you something great. when there's a CASA on the case, on a child's case, they are 98% less likely to experience re-abuse. They are 50% less likely to linger in foster care. They achieve greater academic success. They receive more services when there's a CASA. They experience less foster care homes, you know, bouncing from foster care to foster care. That's what is great that is happening, continually happening at CASA, is we make a difference. We have an incredible impact, not just on these kids, but on our community. You know, child abuse impacts everybody. It has a ripple effect. And the great thing that's happening at CASA is we have people coming out of nowhere, walking through our door saying, how can I help? How can I be of service?
So these are the child heroes or the childhood opportunities, the guides that move these children through a journey of trauma into a journey of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like what CASA's
doing? Into a journey of hope. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely, Mike.
So tell me, when you get these children into your custody, what's the general mental and emotional and physical state of these children?
Well, first of all, I want to clarify, they're not in our custody.
Okay.
The guardians is the Oregon Department of Human Services, but their emotional state, unfortunately, to become a ward of the court, to become a legal case, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of phone calls to the hotline. It takes a lot of assessments from DHS, many visits, many interviews. So it's pretty severe if they've come into the court. So all of them have suffered emotional or physical abuse or sexual abuse. A lot of them have missed a lot of school. A lot of them are in great need of services. So that's kind of what we are walking into and preparing for when we when we work on a case or start a case.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment of the JX. Christina Petrone of CASA for Jackson County, I want to thank you and Heather Brown of CASA of Josephine County for the incredible work you both do.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll put this information up on our website because CASA needs volunteers. These children need you. I'm Mike Green.